invited to stand with us this morning.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. In his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning, for this beautiful sunny day, and each and every day that you give us, Father, to spend time in fellowship with one another and in your gracious hands, Father. We just pray that you bless our worship today, Father, that you bless those who are leading it, and Pastor Mike as he presents the message, the people who are singing and delivering the music. We just thank you for all of them. We pray that you touch our hearts in a special way today, Father. With your message, each of us comes to you with needs and desires, and we just pray that in this message today, Father, those will be addressed, and we'll take that message with us when we go. We can't count the many blessings, Father, that you shower upon us. We know that they're just well beyond our imagination. We thank you for the ones that we are aware of, and even those that we aren't, and we just pray today as we give back that we give back in that spirit of returning to you a little bit of what you've given to us. We ask that you bless the offering and the those who give it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
invite you to stand again.
Take time to be holy, speak oft with our Lord. Abide in Him always, and feed on His Word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing, His blessing to see.
You may be seated.
you have your Bible, turn over to Jude this morning. Yeah, hey, Jude. The little book of Jude, right before the revelation to John. You say, what chapter, what verse? Well, there's only one chapter, so starting in verse 17 is the verse, okay? I want to thank you all for your wonderful prayers and all the marvelous hospitality and the meals that you've brought over to our house and those kind of things. And that's really, really, we love everything you made. It was good stuff. I have to stop eating some of those chocolate cookies that somebody made. The others are not bad, but boy, I just, you know, somebody has to eat the chocolate ones, right? So anyway, want to thank you for that, but also want to pray for Tom this morning, and Rick. Tom's not, he had an episode the other day, so he's not doing as well as he was. I think they were thinking about trying to kick him out until this happened the other day. So let's remember him. It's been a real struggle. He's been in the hospital now for almost a little over 2 weeks now, so I know that they're wanting to get rid of him, and so it must be serious or they would have kicked him out already. So let's remember him in our prayers. Father, we do thank you for the beautiful day. We thank you for the opportunities you give to us to serve, and I want to ask, Lord, a blessing on those that came by and brought food and well wishes and prayed for us, and pray, Father, that you would bless them and their homes in a very special way. We do think of Brother Tom this morning and Rick. Lord, they need a special touch from you. We know, Father, that you can do all things, but we know also, Father God, that all things are in your hands. And so it is your time and your place, but we ask, Father, a blessing on them. Keep them strong. Help them, their bodies, to heal and be with them in a very special way, and their families, Lord, in a very special way. Now I ask you to be with us here this morning as we look at these verses of Scripture. Speak to our hearts today. Beautiful day, Lord. Thank you for it and all the blessings you send to us. For these things we ask in that mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So starting in verse 17 in Jude, it says, "But beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensually having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in a most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now, in him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen." Father, thank you. We ask you to bless this word. Speak to us this day. For these things I ask again in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody said this in Sunday school class, and you're going to think, aha, the legendary head coach of Ohio State. Anybody know who that was? Woody Hayes. Elsie would kill you if you didn't know that. Woody Hayes started every spring football practice, I understand, by saying, "You win games with basics." And then he took a football and he went, "This is a football." That's basic. But those are what basic things are. They're basic. Coach Bear Bryant, who was head coach of the University of Alabama, he said, "When you lose sight of the basics, you slide and you lose games." Basics. They are essential. I think America has forgotten the basics that have made us great. And of the whole society, because of that, we're kind of unraveling like a little string, a stitch at a time. And I said last week that I felt that we needed to return to the fundamentals of biblical faith. And so I want us to look at those things in the next weeks ahead. We need to be reintroduced to what the Word of God teaches. It doesn't hurt. You may be saying to yourself when we get done with this series this summer, oh, I knew all those things. That's good. We can dust them off, though, and we can reiterate them. Jude 20 has a very interesting verse here because it starts out by saying, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. First, I'd like to take note that Jude was saying here that he's building up. We always need to be building up. Natural deterioration, we just get pulled away. We just become cold. We need to get hot again. It's just a natural process in the world. So Jude is telling us that we need to be built up on this most holy place. When you're building up a house, you begin with the foundation. If the foundation of the house is bad, then the whole house is going to be bad. It's the most important step of the whole project. We're told over and over and over and over about that. The Lord Jesus said over there in Matthew, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, he said, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended and the floods came, we are being flooded by satanic ideas today. And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded, what? Upon a rock. You know, we went through a civil war. We went through two world wars. We've gone through a Great Depression. We've gone through horrible leaders, all kinds of things. Yet we still stand because we were founded on a rock, and that rock was Jesus. We need to remember who we are and what we're about. Jude is one of the smallest books in the whole New Testament. He says, beloved, building up yourselves on this most holy faith. Notice, building up yourselves on this holy faith. It's a process continually has to be renewed over and over and over again. Our faith, biblical faith, is most holy because the God that we serve is a holy God. Over in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2, it says, therefore, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is any rock like our God. There is none holy as the Lord. The great prophet Isaiah, over in Isaiah chapter 6, had a vision. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord setting upon his throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the whole temple. That just means the little seam of his garment filled the whole temple. And he said, I heard the seraphims crying one to another, and they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And it is. What a glorious day he's given us today. Glorious day, beautiful out there. Wonderful sun. Wonderful temperature. The air is breathable. You know, there's a lot of places in this old world that, you know, I always thought because of the COVID thing, we were being exhorted to wear masks like the Korean people wear masks. And I thought, wait a second, the Korean people wear masks even when there wasn't any COVID. Listen, it's a beautiful thing that God has done. Our God is not only holy, but Isaiah emphasizes that he is holy, holy, holy. Isaiah 35 says, and a highway shall be there, and a way. And Jesus said, of course, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of what? Holiness. God is interested in purifying us. God is interested in making us like he is holy, that we would be holy as well. That seems, in most of our minds perhaps, that's beyond the pale. You just don't know who I am, you don't know what I've done, and all those kind of things. But listen, if you're thinking that, you don't know who God is. Because God can take something that we would think is unusable and make it usable. Not only can he take it and make it usable, but he can touch it and make it holy. Listen, Isaiah said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. For thus saith the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the most high, holy place, and also with him with a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and revive the heart of the contrite." Contrite, what does that mean? It means to show sincere remorse. When we're contrite, we really mean it. When it's not talking about it, we really mean it. We feel it in our bones, our minds, every part of us that makes us up as a human being, we are contrite. The God of the Bible is our God, and our God is the God that we need to be afraid of and fear him because of his holiness. He's three times holy, creator of the entire universe, all-powerful, all-knowing, and he is all-compassionate. That holy, holy, holy God wants to have interaction with us. I remember when I was a kid, you probably had those kind of experiences that maybe you had some neighbors and some friends and those kind of things. And there seems like there's always just that one guy. I don't know what's wrong with them. I think they need something. And so because they need something, they just want to always be picking on somebody. And so they seem to have a knack, you know, don't mess with Taylor. Taylor beat me up. Mess with Mike. He's weak. I can beat him up if necessary. They have a knack for that. And so they're constantly wanting to do that. What are they trying to do? They're trying to build themselves up by making somebody else be little. The wonderful thing about God is he enlists us in his forever family, and he's not worried about where he found us. He's only concerned about where he's bringing us to. We fail many, many times. Yet, if we turn to him every time, we will find forgiveness. Every time. Every time. I remember, this is always, I was here about 2 weeks, and one of our people came to me and says, "Brother Mike, there's somebody that's on television, and she's a member of Calvary Baptist Church, and she shot her husband and killed him." And I thought, oh, gee, that's kind of something, no? But I thought to myself, well, maybe he deserved it, you know, I don't know. But I started listening to the news on that, and this lady was pleading self-defense. She shot her husband 18 times as he was coming down the stairs with a single shot rifle. No. Somebody's determined there, you know. Well, we're like that. We fail all the time. We're always doing all these crazy things and trying to get our case before our friends and neighbors and all those kind of folks. But you know, when we come before God, it doesn't work. He knows who we are and what we're about. Paul tells us of this wonderful truth in that God knows who we are. He knows what we've done. Matter of fact, he knows what we're going to do. Nothing surprises him. And he says, "For you are the sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ." Wow. He's put us in his forever family. Forever family. Isn't that a beautiful thing? A beautiful thing. Paul says over in 2 Corinthians, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, saith the Lord God Almighty." That's the kind of relationship God wants with us. That's it. It's not a master-servant relationship. It's a familial relationship. Jude 18 says, "How that they told you there should be mockers in the last times, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. So Jude is saying, we told you to expect this. This is the devil's modus operandi. That's what he does all the time. He just repeats it and repeats it and repeats it. Sometimes he has good success, sometimes he doesn't, but he never varies. He constantly does those kind of things. And so Jude is saying, now listen, church, listen, beloved of God, men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ, remember that the devil is going to attack this way over and over and over and over again. And in the last days, there are going to be those that are going to be so emboldened by their sin and their corrupt heart that these people mock God openly. And these people sometimes put themselves into position of leadership. Go this way. We're telling you how to do this. This is the thing you need to do. And Jude says, they're coming. They're coming. You know, many mock God today. Certainly, many are defiant. Certainly, some are sexually immoral. Years ago, Donald Gray Barnhouse wrote a little book called The Invisible War, a long time ago. He said, we are under attack by evolution, by materialism, by relativism, by communism, and by atheism. Well, okay, that's got all the isms, I think. And they have finally come together in his day. Well, if they came together in his day, they're on the march today. They're flying their banners high. They think they can say anything and do anything they want, and nobody can do anything about it because they will silence you. They will silence some of the biggest corporations in the United States of America, in the world. They can do these things. They have real power, and they're trying to exercise it, not for good, but for evil. They're emboldened, aren't they? And they're on the march. But the battle of sin always begins in the mind. Can they persuade us? Can they present their case in such a fashion that we'd say, well, yeah, I guess so. I need to join up with that or something like that. They think they're winning. But friends, listen, we haven't even begun to fight. It might be high time that we do, but it's nowhere near lost. Don't believe everything you've been taught in school. Don't believe everything you've been taught in college. Don't believe everything you read in the newspaper. Hardly anybody gets a newspaper anymore, do they? Here on the news, on television, or on the radio. Question everything. Check it out. Not just simply about the accuracy of the reporting or whatever it is, but the truthfulness of that statement. Somebody can say such and so and so and such and so, and they did say it on such and so and so time, and it was concerning a particular subject. But is it truthful? Is it truthful? Check it out. If it contradicts the Bible, immediately put it in the trash can. There's nothing good about it. It's a lie. And some of these lies are so outrageous that I can say this morning they're from the very pit of hell. The average sinner couldn't come up with this stuff. This is the devil himself. What we need to do is resist fearlessly, because our God is a three times holy God. He spoke everything into existence. He is God. The very breath you take this morning is by his grace. The very breath by which these people speak is because of the grace of God in their life, whether they recognize it or not. And what do we need to do? Stand firm on the word. Don't waver. Don't waver. Stand there. You don't have to put your dukes up or anything like that. Just stand there. And the other thing is to teach the truth of God. We need to guard what we're exposed to, of course. And again, that everything begins with what we put in our minds. Guard against what our children are hearing and being taught. It's very, very, very problematic, isn't it? Proverbs 15:14 says, "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feedeth on" what? "Foolishness." I cannot believe that there are people who report some of these people saying whatever they're doing without laughing at the end of the statement. It's foolishness. It's foolishness. Nothing supports their statement. Not science, not history, not anything. It's just something they just made up of whole cloth. So we have unreverend or irreverent fools leading in this country from the White House to the schoolhouse. And what must we do? The only thing we can do and we must do is put God first. Stand for the Word. Know the Word. Be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks us of our faith. And to be repentant and humble ourselves before God Almighty, because we too fail Him every day. Jeremiah 29 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." I always think about this verse, and I think about Diane Mann. This was her favorite verse. "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and shall go and pray unto me, and I will hear and hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search with me with all your heart." It's not some kind of scientific thing. It's simple. That's God's promise, and if we'll do that, He'll respond to us and lead us and guide us. Forgive us, strengthen us, give us the right words to say, give us the right direction to go. Nothing's going to change until the people of God begin to search wholeheartedly for the God who is three times holy, for that God who came in flesh in the person of Christ, took upon sin, died on the cross, and rose again. Nothing's going to change until we put Him first. But when we put Him first, then everything can change. We've changed the whole world. Somebody give me a book down there. It's so true. The world has been transformed, and it can be transformed again. All we need is that little saying called revival. We need to be revived. You need to revive. That's what the great promise of God is. Nothing's going to change until we let God start changing us. When we get serious about finding God for ourselves and the needs that we have, the true and living God, we want more than anything else. We want Him. We will find Him because He's not hiding. He's always available to His people. Isaiah 59:2 says, "Your iniquities have separated you and your God." Verse 10 says, "We grope," I always think this is very interesting, "we grope for the wall like the blind." Can you see that? I see that picture. That's what we're doing. We're groping. We're just groping. We don't have a direction. We're not moving with firmness and with purpose, but we're going like this. Oh, watch out, there's the organ. We're groping. Open your eyes and see what God has done in the past. Open your eyes and see who God is. Open the Word of God. Read the Word of God, and the Word of God will help you to see clear, and the Word of God will give you direction for every thought. Listen, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. The devil wants you to think that. God's not listening to you. You're too big of a sinner. You're a terrible person. I don't know what you think you're thinking about, but you're worse than anybody I've ever seen. That's what he wants us to think. But God says, in Christ, we become part of the family of God. We're sons and daughters. And when, you know, just think about it. If you had children, if you're a father or mother, and one of them cries, what do? You go find out what's wrong. And you pick them up, and if they've got a skint knee or something like that, you put something on it, you give them a hug and all those kind of things. That's the love that God shows and wants to show us. Call upon him and stand in his truth, and he will always respond. Psalms 145:18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him in truth. He will hear their cry and he will save them. Psalms 50 says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I think we've got some troubles right here in River City. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. You see, when we depend upon the Lord, there's victory and there is the change that takes place in our hearts and all those around us. And then not only do we see that and anticipate that and understand that ourselves, we begin to see how it works other ways and through in society. Our biggest problem is what we put into our minds. Dennis taught me this years and years and years ago. Whatever you put in that computer is what you're going to get out. It's not smart. It can't say, well, you need to know this. No. It's what we put in is what we get out. Garbage in, garbage out. We're putting a lot of garbage in our minds, folks. We gotta turn that stuff off. Put those magazines down. Put those books down. Turn that off. What goes in is going to come out. Let's try to put some of this in so that will come out. Because it will. It will. The Bible talks about troubled minds over in 2 Kings 6:11. It talks about depraved minds in 1 Timothy. In Romans 8, it talks about sinful minds. In 2 Corinthians, it talks about dull minds. In 2 Corinthians 4, it talks about blinded minds. In 2 Timothy 3:8, it talks about corrupt minds. It all begins here, how we think about things. And what we put in here is going to come out here. And so we need to necessarily put in the right things in here so that the right things come out here. Remember, John 8:44 says, and he reminds us that Satan is the father of all lies. You don't have to wonder about what kind of place that came from. If it's a lie, it came from the pit of hell. That's all there is to it. I don't care who's speaking it, whether it has a cardinal's vestiture on or a pastor's smock or presidential water. I don't care what it is. If it's a lie, it's coming from the pit of hell. And they may not recognize that they're being used, but they're being used. And so we need to reverse that so that we put in the things of holiness about our holy God and who we are in Christ and the things that Scripture teaches us over and over and over again, just in basic understanding of things, so that we will produce another behavior and another voice. All this war, all this is a lie, but we can resist. Five things we can do daily to strengthen, to commit, to prepare for battle are very, very simple things. I've told you about them a million times. Prayer. Got to start there. We're going to be weak in prayer until we start inputting this into our lives. So it's a one-two thing. Pray about it. Read the word. Read the word. Pray. Pray. Read the word. It'll get stronger and stronger and stronger. Some people don't think that this matters whatsoever. I realize that. But to worship, God didn't set up the church. He didn't do all these kind of things because it was an exercise of futility. It's something we need. As iron sharpens iron, we sharpen each other. We strengthen each other. We see an example of this, and we can say, I can do that too. We get stronger when we worship. Yesterday in our men's Bible study, we had a sermon from Dr. Adrian Rogers, and he was talking about prayer. And he said, prayer starts with God, comes to us. And then what do you say? Through God, and then to God, a triangle. Yeah, that's the way. That's the way. You know, little notes of encouragement are unbelievable. I know some of you are really good at that. Don't stop. Don't stop. You say, well, I wrote somebody a note the other day and they didn't even say boo. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to you write something, encourage them, and you don't have to be thanked for it, but it wouldn't hurt to do that, I'm sure. But nevertheless, those we need encouragement from each other. From each other. We're not the enemy. We're not the enemy. We're in the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not the enemy. To give, there's a necessity there that we don't like much, but we should give, most assuredly. It's important for us because it teaches our hearts a lesson in humility, and it also teaches our hearts a lesson in the bounty of God, because God will not let us give more than He's willing for us. He's going to give back. I was talking yesterday in my house about clay pots. The Bible talks about us being as like little clay pots. And so I don't know where Todd was going, or somebody went out and bought these little clay pots and brought them and gave them to me. So I have these little clay pots, right? So we're clay pots, right? Two little pots, pretty much the same exactly. I got a little water I'm going to put in this pot. Grayson's saying, I hope it works. I hope it works. I hope it works. This little clay pot's got some water in it. Doesn't taste bad at all. Yeah. Okay. Oh, there's just it's just water. Yeah. But I have another little clay pot. And I put water in it. Wait a second. Better drink that fast. Most on the floor. So this clay pot's got a hole in it, doesn't it? It's got a hole in it. So every time we pour some water in it, it's going to go out. But you know what? It would be hard and it would be better for us to fix the hole. But we could take this clay pot and we could make it hold water. God can take your clay pot that's got a crack in it. You're a crack. Did you know you're a crack pot? And He could fix you. So you hold water. Listen, there's water in here. Look. Yeah. Well, obviously, I put my finger right on that little tiny hole there. Yeah. Yeah. So we're kind of like clay pots. Some of us have been repaired and we hold pretty water pretty good, and some of us got a hole in the bottom. And, you know, unless we stick something there, it's going to run out all over the place all the time. But it's not worthless, is it? This one's better because it got a little something in the bottom there. Grayson said that'll never work, but it did, didn't it? You didn't say that? Oh, okay. He was He was doubtful that it would work. This one doesn't have anything in it. But if you put your finger down here, it'll hold water. I read about a guy that had a mule, and he had to carry water from a stream to his house. And he would fill the buckets up he had on the old mule, and he would walk along. And when he would get to his house, the one on the left side, that bucket would be full. And we'd put it on the counter, and they would use that to wash their dishes or wash their hands or anything like that. That's what we did when I was a kid at my grandma's farm. We didn't drink that water. We had a spring that you drank the water from the spring, but that was useful water. But if you had a pot that has a hole in it, then the water's going to come out, doesn't it? And I read a story about a guy who had a cracked pot in a hole pot. And he put the cracked pot on this side, and he put the other pot on this side, and he went down to fill them up, and he went to his house, and every time he got to his house, this pot would be empty. And his wife would say to him, "What's wrong with you? You need to fix the pot. We need the water." And he said, "Yes, I know that." He said, "But I did something years ago, and I'm taking care of that as well." He planted flowers along the way on this side, and when he put water in this side, he watered them every day. You know, God can use cracked pots. God can use a cracked pot. You're saying to yourself, "Yeah, I think He has. Yeah, yeah." It's not hard for God to put His finger there and hold that water in it. It's not hard for God to fix the pot. We're not perfect. We're not complete. But in God's hands, we can do great things. Whether we bring a whole bucket load or just a little bit, God magnifies those things. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. They're not winning. You say, "Well, I don't know about that. They're crazy bed bugs all over the place." Yeah, I know that. But they're not winning. They're not winning. What God is really doing right now is a very simple little thing. He's getting people, His people, and we're watching the news, and we're, "Oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness." And God reaches down and says, "Wake up, brother. Got something for you to do." And Al wakes up, starts doing what he's supposed to be doing. And then God walks down the lane a little bit and sees this guy and says, "Hey, Caleb, how you doing, man? And what's all over your face?" He says, "I can use you. I can use you. I've got something for you to do." God's got something for us to do that only you can do. Only you can do. Now listen. I'm not trying to offend you, but you're all a bunch of crackpots in here this morning. Amen. You're all a bunch of crackpots. Now, Tom could say, "Brother Mike, and you're the chief crackpot." Gotcha. Gotcha. Listen, we're not perfect. We won't be perfect, but God can use us, and God can hold His finger on the spot that needs to be, whatever it needs to be. God can accomplish His will through us. He can, and He will. The only way He won't do it is for us to put away the pot and quit trying to carry the water. That's the only way. Because God wants us to be co-laborers with Him. He wants us to say, "Yes." And when we say yes, He says, "Okay, let's work together." Friends, we got a lot of work together to do. A lot of work together to do. Somebody probably right now should be doing a journal of all the crazy, nutty things going on. Because in 20 years, you can make a book out of that, and people are going to go say, "Did they really do that? What kind of nuts is that?" I read that passage from a book 20 years old, and he was talking about the same things we're doing here. Same thing. We can do it. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And he wants to use us. Father God, thank you for who you are. Lord, the world looks at us and says, we're just a bunch of old crackpots. We're not worth nothing. That's okay. Their opinion is not worth anything. The only opinion that counts is yours. And you say, no, 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 no. I want to use you. I can mold you and make you again if that's necessary. I can put a patch on it. I can redeem you from the worst pits and take you to the highest pinnacle because that's who I am. I'm God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Lord, help us to be propagators of truth, faithing people, loving people through Christ Jesus, who's a personification of the very God of the universe, second person of the Trinity. Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that's struggling, and maybe there are, touch their hearts, give them strength. Lord, don't let them go away from this place this morning and think there's all is lost. No, it's not. Give them renewed confidence. Energize their hearts and minds again. Give us a sweet-smelling savor of your beauty that we might go from this place shouting hallelujah. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to have a song of invitation this morning. If you have something to make public, you come. Don't hesitate. Don't delay.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, and a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Heavenly Father, we do think of those that need a special touch physically this morning. And we think of Rick, and we think also of Brother Tom. Lord, we just pray that you would comfort the families as they show their love and they stand by. But Lord, we know that in everything, you're God. And even as Tom said the other day after kind of having a setback, he said, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. But if I'm not done yet, use me. Lord, if you're not done yet, use us. Use us. For these things we ask in that mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.